It's entertaining. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you smile. Sometimes controversial, but it'll always have you coming back for more. No, it's not Trump Wales IPA. It's everyone's favourite talking shop, home of the Fox's most poorly informed pundits. Welcome to the Foss Arms, and welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. And the Foss Arms tonight is full, officially. The bouncers are keeping everyone else out because tonight, table for three, myself, Tim Killer. Good evening.
Good evening. And before we start, Tim, it's a podcast, not a
podcast. Yeah, do you know what? I thought, shall we start the recording again? I thought, I can't be bothered.
People often ask me, by the way, they go, who does the editing? I said, nobody.
That's one of the major, when we were looking at the roles that needed filling during this podcast, editor, that's still vacant.
Still vacant. I said to somebody, I went, do you think we'd have that much drivel in a podcast if we ever edited it? Anyway, sorry, Tim.
Well, yeah, just to completely, we haven't even introduced Norm yet. Norm, good evening.
And I was good evening. I mean, ironically enough, we were having a little chat, myself and Tim, before you joined us, Killer, about editing, which obviously just involves top and tailing the recording rather than, like you say, doing anything else with it, because it's such a smooth running, delightful, professional publication.
It is indeed. So, talking of smooth running things, Leicester City continue to be exactly that smooth running express train. Tons and tons of things to talk about, largely to do with the Bristol City match, but we've just had a double game week, Bristol City and Norwich. We've got another double game week coming up. We've got loads of things we need to talk about in this show. I want to just cover off something before we come on to Bristol City. One of our listeners last week told us they lived in Swaziland. And I said, I didn't even know Swaziland existed. It doesn't exist. I looked this up. I was intrigued. In 2018, Swaziland became Eswatini. So if you were that listener, get back in touch with us and tell us what's going on, where you do actually live. And I also want to say, as this podcast gets ridiculously, for some reason, even more international, a big hello to Dan from Chicago, Illinois, who emailed in saying, that he loves the podcast. Thank you very much, Dan. Killer, I can't say podcast this evening. We're going to have some problems.
Yeah, don't worry. And you said Chicago, Illinois, isn't it? Illinois, Chicago. I don't know.
Anyway, it's Chicago. It's Chicago in the state of Illinois. I do know that one. It's this Swaziland one that I've got me confused. Norm, for goodness sake, bail us out by talking about Bristol City and the homecoming of probably two and a half legends. I was going to say three legends, but three legends, let's be kind.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think we should probably start with that. Obviously, it was a shame that Andy King didn't get to play in the game, but it was great to see Matty James as captain. And as the teams were announced, he got an exceptionally good round of applause, which you'd have expected. I've always felt a bit sorry for Matty James because obviously he got that injury. I think it was against Southampton in the Great Escape season, and obviously never featured in our Premier League winning side. So always felt he just kind of missed out there. And obviously David Rennie, the from the times when we didn't get lots of injuries. So nice to see him back. But of course, the real legend, Andy King, the only player to have won the Division, the League One Championship and Premier League titles with certainly with the same club. Obviously, Pearson back as well.
No, can I interrupt you just before you come off Andy King? I want to read out what Andy King put on Twitter.
I hadn't quite finished about Andy King. I was just, I'd forgotten Pearson was back, but you go ahead with your reading out of what he put, because I have also read that and it was magic. So yeah, go ahead, mate.
The picture that he's put of himself is moving. So we could see them coming over, and it looked to me like he was crying. Now this picture that he's posted of himself also looks like he's about to burst into tears. He said lots of positives to be taken from the team's performance yesterday. We'll be stronger as a group for that. That's his Bristol City bit. Leicester City. Sometimes words can't do a feeling or situation justice. Yesterday was one of those afternoons. The reception you gave me was more than I could have imagined, and the feelings I had during that time will live with me forever. I'm so glad I got the chance to come back and see you all again, and after the game, be able to relive all those amazing memories. Good luck for the rest of the season. Kingy. And I've got to say, I found it emotional, Norm. For goodness sake, I was nearly in tears.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about club legends, and you know, it's very easy for us to talk about, you know, Vardy and Walsh and Mahrez and many other players from that Premier League winning side. But King, he really is what epitomises Leicester City, isn't he? He was with us from, you know, from through the dark times through to the best of the best, and he really is, you know, certainly must be in the top five greatest sort of Leicester players for not just for ability, but when you take into account everything that he did for our club. So yeah, and it was great. It was superb to see him back. Perhaps a little bit sorry for Matty James on the walk round, given that everyone was singing Andy King rather than anything about Matty James. But I think that's understandable. I think King's the legend. Matty James was, you know, very well received and a great player for us. And of course, I will slip onto Nige and his crutches. He as well, you know, what he did for our club in two stints as manager, absolutely super. So you know, it's nice when you have those positives, you know, in the game. There's so many times now, isn't there, where it gets bad press for various things. So to have all those guys return to the club and get such a great welcome. Obviously not the welcome not spoilt by the fact that we won the game always makes it a little easier to be happy, but I'd like to think that they'd have all got that reception whatever the score. So well done Leicester City fans, but thank you to the four of you guys who are now at Bristol City but are heroes of our club.
Absolutely. We're going to come on and talk about the Bristol City match, but killer just we need to just go back a few days, don't we? And let's just reflect first of all on that brilliant away win at Norwich briefly, because it feels like a while ago and there's always the recency effect, but that was a real statement win, wasn't it? I know they've gone on to get pasted by Plymouth, but you know, on the morning of that Norwich game, that felt like a very difficult assignment.
Yeah, definitely. They're in good form. I wonder whether or not actually the Plymouth defeat was a really bad hangover after what happened to us, because, you know, myself and the rest of the Leicester City supporting population, absolutely incredulous an hour before kickoff when he's named the team. It was like, whoa, hang on a minute. Is this not potentially our biggest, most difficult away game of the season? And you're dismantling the team that have just dismantled Southampton. I mean, it was incredible. And I don't know about you guys, because, I mean, obviously after the event, we can look at that and say, well, it all worked out well. Although I don't think, to be honest, until he bought Dewsbury Hall and Ndidi on, we ever found a great deal of fluency. Nevertheless, very aggressive, very competitive, that's certainly the better team out of the two. But I don't know about you guys, before kickoff, there was just that sort of fear, not so much that of losing the football match, but actually what would happen if we lost the football match in terms of fan backlash, because obviously Enzo's doing a great job and everyone's really happy and stuff. But sometimes in football, managers do make decisions that leave you completely baffled. Here he's made the decision. It's left us completely baffled. He's got away with it. And I'm very relieved about that. I'm also very happy about the fact that you could argue, I think with Leeds United away, and you would say Ipswich away now, two of the four most difficult away games, aggregate score to Leicester City, 6-1.
Yeah,
think about that for a second. And just got to say, guys, as well, if he's listening and he knows who he is, I'm on many WhatsApp groups, and one particular WhatsApp group full of Leicester City fans, and somebody made a statement afterwards, and he said, and this is what he said, guys, get on Leicester City to win the league. I really fancy us. I think Enzo's going to give us the title, of which I messaged back and saying, it's a brilliant, brilliant shout you're making there, mate. Just to let you know, Leicester City currently 8-5 massive favourites to win the league. Don't think I'll be having any harder burnt on that.
Yeah, not the biggest bet in the world. That one is it. There's two things that stuck out for me from Norwich Killer. Number one, making Hamza captain, but playing him at right back, yeah, and then watching him pretty much push their guy over in the penalty area was precisely why I wouldn't have made him captain or played him at right back. And as you say, we got away with it. I think with it in a VAR world, and thank goodness we're not in that horrible world anymore, that was a penalty because his foul started outside. It carried on inside the area, and that's a penalty. And you just think, what are you doing? You're the captain. Anyway, that was the negative. The plus, obviously, away from winning the game for me was just seeing us defend. They did put us under pressure quite a bit, and just winning header after header after header. And I just thought, we haven't talked about our inability to defend set pieces this season yet, because that problem, Killer, for the moment, has sort of gone away, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And you're quite right, Tim. I thought we looked absolutely solid from set pieces. And how many times did you hear Vestergaard with the clearing header? It's like, this guy right here, right now, you'd have to say along with Harry Winks has probably been just about our best player, isn't he? In terms of all of the, in terms
not sure
of all
the
games.
That.
Well, I think at some stage you're going to have to let this go, mate.
Hold on. Can I mediate? Can we call him our most? can I call him our most improved player?
We need some mediation there, Norm. Definitely, I can feel myself tensing up.
Okay. All I would say is identify a howler. Identify a mistake that he's made.
I mean, to be serious for a minute. He is playing a guy because of his footballing ability who doesn't really need to defend because we're not under pressure because we're controlling possession for 70% of the game. He did have a good game against Norwich. There was a point against in the Bristol City game where he contrived to lose a header that was impossible to lose. But I just think, you know, maybe, yeah, the way we're playing, maybe you or I could defend Killer at the moment at the back for Leicester City, because there's just no need to make any tackles. Is it? Well, one thing I will say, he's on four yellow cards somehow this season already. So, I mean, that suggests a lack of something to me.
I don't know. I'm just going to press pause. But we have had a lot of possession. I don't think for one second you can say that we've had it all our own way. Were we under pressure against Rotherham? Yeah. Were we under pressure against trying to think, who was it? Coventry for a period after they scored? Yeah. Were we under pressure against Norwich? Yeah. Are we forgetting all that? Are we forgetting that actually when you have that sustained period of pressure, that the guys that get you through, generally speaking, are your centre-backs?
And I don't want to... I'm just very briefly going to hop on to the Bristol City game because this is related to Vestergaard. Who would also have thought that since Madison's left, Vestergaard would want to step up to take a free kick over the wall from 25 yards out?
Goodness gracious, I mean... What can he not do? I mean, honestly, when he steps up, you must be kidding. I mean, if he goes and bends this in the top bins, look, it's just.
Do you know? Yeah, look, I've probably been his biggest critic, and I'm with Killer. I think he's hardly put a foot wrong so far this season. And I'm not saying when we get promoted, which I'm quite sure we will, that he'll be the answer in the Premier League. But he can only do what's asked of him. And at the moment, you know, he stayed at the club for whatever reason, whether he couldn't get a move or not. He's putting a shift in. The players were patting him on the back against Southampton. It's quite obvious that he's doing something right. So, you know, while he's doing so well, I think it is time to let it go to him. You know, he's in the side, and he's the one at the moment that seems to be pretty much the ever present. So
what we knew about him when we bought it. Look, don't get me wrong. I thought he was disgraceful at times as well, with his lack of professionalism and everything. So don't get me wrong. I've never been and probably never will be pro Jan Vestergaard. However, what I am is I'm pragmatic. And all I would say is when we bought him, it wasn't like we bought a guy that will he won't it. Everybody universally, Leicester City turned around and went, that's a good signing. £13 million, established Premier League defender. Southampton felt like they were loath to let him go. Came here and he was rubbish. But all the while, you were kind of left thinking to yourself, there has to still be a player there. Surely there still has to be a player. Now, I know it's a level down and I know it's the Championship. I just think fair play to him because he's just, I just feel like he looks very comfortable now.
I just wonder whether that's because we're playing such possession-based football now, and he's much less likely to get caught for pace, you know, having had us break quickly and then the other team's breaking quickly on us. I mean, perhaps it's Rodgers' fault. Let's blame him.
Yeah, well, no problem with that. Leicester City Pubcast at gmail.com. Listeners, if you think Yannick Vestergaard has turned the corner at Leicester City, I
still need slowly. To turn the corner very slowly.
Right, Norm, what about the Bristol City game? So he sprung a few more changes, including leaving Casey McAteer on the bench, which I think he sort of shows he's willing to. He's going to just continually rotate this team to keep them fresh. And then he brought a different winger in. It was the guy I really wanted to see, which was Fatua. I thought he played well as well.
Yeah, I mean, just before, I just want to just hop back a little bit to the Norwich game. In Maresca, we trust. I mean, Cassaday came in for his full debut and was the one player against Norwich that I thought really struggled. Yeah. And I think he's looked disappointing. And again, with regards to all the changes, I was furious before the Norwich match. I thought it's just too much. But when we hop onto Bristol City and he's made another five changes, I think this is something that we've got to accept. I don't necessarily agree with making so many changes all the time. I think that particularly after the Southampton game, I thought play a settled side. You know, they've ripped a team apart. Let's keep it. But after the Norwich game, because it wasn't the kind of team that I really wanted to see, changes again. He made changes for Bristol City. So and they worked again.
Just a quickie, Norm and Tim. Just want to throw this out there. How close do you think the 11 he played for Bristol City are now what he feels are his strongest 11?
I think that with Cody injured, I think the only player I would probably change from that, given indeed his incredible rise to being the finest attacking midfield player that Leicester City have ever owned. I think when Doyle went off at half time, that would be the team I'd play. I think Justin for Doyle, and that's pretty well where I'd surely
McAteer, no?
Oh, so, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about McAteer. But probably McAteer for Fatawu. But that
you go McAteer for Fatawu, would you? Would you Killer?
So, yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, Fatawu looks like he's got a bit of flair. But I tell you what, it looks like we've got the luxury of having three good wingers.
Mm.
So maybe in terms of strongest team, it would almost be those nine, if you like, that Norm's just mentioned, and then any two from three. And I don't think you'd lose too much sleep on that, would you?
No, I tell you, what I didn't quite get, Norm, is 60 minutes and it's still 0-0 in that game. And Bristol City are a decent side. I think, you know, the big Nigel was always going to come with a proper game plan, did do. They frustrated us, you know, man for man, they're a lesser team. I thought they did pretty well. But in terms of, I mean, Maresca described it as perfect or almost perfect, that performance. And what we did very well, and what I was amazed by was how wide the wingers played. So the wingers were standing on the touchline every single time the goalkeeper got the ball. So we're completely stretching it. Both wingers had the beating of both fullbacks immediately and throughout the entire game. And yet, when they get the ball into the middle, you know, Vardy had one where he flicked it by, could have gone inside the far post, it didn't. But he's not a target man, Vardy. You've got Ndidi, we do need to give some plaudits to, but he's, you know, he's still finding his way, doing an incredibly good job of it, but he's not an attack-minded player. I'm just conscious that as well as we played, there was never really a goal coming, was there?
Oh, no, I disagree. I think we did play well. I thought we created chances, and I felt that we were just with regards to the wings, the final ball was probably just lacking. That was just what was missing. But I felt it was the first time, and I think I said to you in the game actually, Tim, that it was the first time for a long while that I really felt that we looked like scoring quite regularly, only because the wingers did have the beating of the fullbacks. I thought we did look good, and we're just, you know, like I say, just the final ball away from from like scoring a few times, and hopefully that's where the wingers will improve. It's like maybe just making the odd bad decision. I thought for Fatou, for all he was skillful and took players on, sometimes just try to do a little bit too much, be a little bit clever when sometimes a quicker ball or lay it back would be the right thing to do. But these are all young guys, and I think that will come with experience when they learn that they've got like a legend like Vardy up front who can make runs to the near post. They'll start to realise actually it doesn't always have to be cut back. You know, it can be played more just in front of the keeper because players like Vards will run onto it and knock it in. So I actually felt quite confident that we would score. I do still struggle a little bit with the whole passing game because it is quite slow at times. But I thought again against Bristol City that I saw why it works more often than I have done in other games. I mean, Winks was imperious again. I mean, it took him about 15 minutes to finally lose a ball after having not lost the ball at all against Norwich.
Yes, it's staggering that is actually, isn't it?
Yeah,
87 yeah, passes.
For the amount of possession we had, for a fella to do that is pretty staggering.
Absolutely. And I just think I thought we controlled the game. I thought we looked what we are, which is a very good side. I accept why we do break through the lines, and the way Winks turns away from players occasionally, and when we did get move it a bit quicker, then it did look great. And I think that's the key. I think it just needs to be speeded up a little bit at times, and when that happens, we're going to absolutely destroy someone. I'm convinced of that.
Well, what do you think, Killer, to that point? So, I mean, Norm's phrased it quite well. So we definitely did create a lot of chances. So I wasn't sure there was a goal coming, though, until it came, thank goodness. And let's be honest, in a game that we've largely dominated, we have only again won by the single goal.
And has been a story of the season. I agree. I don't think we're, apart from Southampton, of course, where we created dozens of chances, everything's just been, the stats look good, don't they? You know, at the end of the game, the stats always look good, plenty of shots, plenty on target, blah, 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 blah. But you know, in terms of, you're quite right, you know, in terms of what you would call hard and fast chances, you think to yourself, yeah, there is that. But I think to some extent, I think that's part of the evolution of the team. And don't forget, if you were a Leicester City player now, and I was reading about this in the Leicester Mercury earlier, if you're a Leicester City player now, they reckon that these fellas now rock up to training and they are all absolutely on their game because they don't know if they're going to play or not.
Yeah.
It's not like you think about the year we won the league. You would imagine there's a number of players they would have known, wouldn't they? I'm not getting in this team unless somebody gets injured. Apparently, this lot, they're all rocking up to training, looking at each other, going, "We've got no idea who's playing, so we better all put it in training and make ourselves look sharp and make sure we're fit because you don't know what's coming down." That in itself is an evolution and that is a revolution. And of course, it's just going to take players a little bit longer to bed in. But, you know, it's just a great time to be a Leicester City fan, isn't it? We've played 10 games, fellas, this season, and we've won 9 of them.
I know, it is a great time. I'm going to pick on somebody like Tim Zalinski, the team sheet announced at Norwich and Chowdhury's captain against Norwich, dropped against Bristol City. It's just magic, isn't it?
Absolutely incredible. Wait, Killer, what about the point Norm's made about Ndidi? I think it's time we gave him some plaudits. I mean, he for me was one of the big villains of last year. He really was. You know, in terms of his form, but you know, work ethic wasn't there. You know, I think that there's a sort of two or three of them that were right in the firing line from where I'm standing in terms of ability. They just didn't cut it, and we went down, and there was an interview with him, and he said, "Oh no, I was never going to leave and I thought, well, yeah, until an offer came in, you'd have been off like a shot. Yeah. However, what a transformation. I mean, and to find, this is where this, I am giving incredible plaudits to Maresca for this, to have found an attacking talent within Wilfred. I mean, it's like me. I wonder how Ndidi feels about it. I bet he's quite fed up, actually. It's about like me turning around to you and saying, Kelly, you do know, don't you? You're an extremely talented concert pianist. Mm. And then you go and sit down at a piano. You can play whatever you want. Make the birds sing. And you just think, oh, my goodness, I had this skill and I've never been using it.
Yeah, I wish you'd said that to me about golf, actually, Tim, years and years ago. But, you're quite right. But this is where, again, you know, we go back to Vestergaard. That there's a couple of things that have happened in Leicester City this season, which, let's be honest, we were thinking, well, do you remember pre-season where we started playing him in this slightly more forward role? We were going, oh, surely that's just pre-season, isn't it? In fact, there was two things we said. If you go back to the shows, there's two things we said. Vestergaard, even though he played pre-season, if I think it was against Liverpool, he won't start first game of the season. And indeed, he definitely won't ever be attacking midfielder. We're only doing that just to wind up our opponents in the Championship. Wrong. We've got to take our hats off to Enzo. Enzo's becoming one of these footballing enigmas where you don't understand him, but to some extent, you don't want to understand him. You just want to watch it, don't you?
Yeah. I think Norm and I were saying at the weekend that for me, in the many years we've been watching this ridiculous football club of ours, I've never seen a transformation like this. We went to counter attack and then we had that terrible hold on to play the sideways ball with Puel. You know, these are just recent years. We could go back much further. I've never seen a transformation killer like this.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I just wonder if we were Manchester City fans, obviously they all love Pep. But imagine if you're a Manchester City fan, you are still left with some fundamental questions, aren't you? Why did we get rid of Joao Cancelo, for instance? Where did he go? Why did Laporte got sold? Why doesn't Foden play? Why in the first season did Jack Grealish only start about 15 times? Why didn't Riyad? And it's almost like Enzo's come out exactly the same stable of, don't try and predict me, do not try and second guess what I'm going to do, but just trust me.
Yeah, agreed. Norm, you had a very good idea about our attacking midfield option because sooner or later, Ndidi is not going to play or he's going to get injured or something's going to happen. And I think, you know, you guys have both said in the show already that, you know, Cassaday's form looks a bit of a worry. But you had another option, Norm, didn't you?
I did. I just wondered whether McAteer could play that role. He seems to be more than just a winger and have that little bit more about him. So I thought that he could play the number 10 role potentially if as and when required.
What do you think about that, Killer?
Would never be dismissive of Norm, of course, because he's a football genius. We all know that. Don't know. He looks a winger to me. Can he play at 10? Don't know. It'd be interesting to talk to the academy boys and find out if they've if he's ever played there. Because by the way, an academy coach that I know and play golf with spoke to me yonks ago and said, you do know Hamza Chowdhury's position is fullback, don't you?
Oh, really?
Yep. That was his academy position, fullback.
He's finally got there. But let me put it this way then, Killer. If Ndidi gets injured, and we remain and Enzo remains concerned about Cassaday's form, which is a worry because you know he really was dreadful against Norwich and he didn't really have anything to do at all, did he? When he came on against Bristol City, so what would you do? Because that role is so important because you got the wingers feeding Vardy and nothing else other than that role.
Okay. Look, I don't want to sort of just bat this back, but if you think about Cassaday, he came on, he scored a goal, he looks like he's the real deal. He then gets hardly any game time. He then gets thrown into a very competitive game against Norwich. Is there a big surprise that he didn't quite hit the ground running? I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate. I personally am not sure whether or not he's a championship type of player, but maybe there's still a player there. Haven't we still got Dennis Pratt to come back?
Yeah, we have.
Is he injured?
He's injured. Yeah.
We didn't ship him out, did we?
And I mean, Atkin kind of also is this. Look, we're in the. I think what we've got to remember here is we are in the Championship. So whether or not you might well be right on McAteer killer, but in the Championship, it's possibly a role he can, he could play. Yeah. Possibly not in the Premier League. Like you say, you've got Dennis Pratt. I would imagine Winks could possibly play a little bit more advanced. Iheanacho could drop further back and play Vardy up front. I think we've got enough there to cover that role, given that will be so many points clear, it simply won't matter. So.
But I tell you what, fellas, just slightly digressing, but I'm sure you all had a shudder yesterday to just completely understand the chasm between the Championship and the Premier League, because poor old Sheffield United got absolutely, literally ripped from head to shoulder. It was the. In fact, I don't know about you guys. Were you worried about the 0-9 our yes. record?
Yeah.
I was very worried. Oh no! When they stuck the eighth goal in,
that was my only concern.
to your point, Kieran, we have to. I mean, I have. There is not a doubt of. There's not a part of me that thinks if we were in the Premier League, we would be anywhere near a relegation fight this year. I'm losing it now. I'm getting more into the swing of this season, but I'm still finding it galling. The three promoted clubs have played 16 games between them and have 3 points. I mean, they could all beat Derby's record.
Yeah.
and I mean, as you rightly said yesterday, Killer, that's without throwing Chelsea into the mix. We know they're down. Let alone Notts Forest. We've just stared up into the Premier League. We're just staring down at you. Had a great stat, didn't you? About
go on, throw that one in.
The listeners will enjoy this.
Poor old Cheltenham Town, folks. If you think Leicester City have ever had a bad start to the season, and we weren't great last season, just spare a thought for Cheltenham Town. Their last league goal was scored by a player who they sold in May.
Which I absolutely love.
It's lovely. Now, I got my calculator out the other day, by the way. Now, I think we would all agree, because, you know, we're getting a bit older and we don't like to put the hours in we used to. I'm sure you'll all agree 8 hours is a pretty good shift at work now for a couple of tubby 50-year-olds. 10 hours is a serious shift, isn't it? 12 hours, you start moving into the heart attack zone. Well, Cheltenham Town fans have had 14 hours of football this season without a goal.
It's unbelievable. And while we're on the subject, I was intrigued. So I had a little look into Cheltenham. Right, their local derby is against Forest Green Rovers. Guess what it's called? The derby. Any takers?
No.
El Glossico for Gloucester.
El Glossico.
You know, that's good. Yeah. El Glossico, Forest Green Rovers against Cheltenham. So yeah. Anyway, we'll keep tabs on Cheltenham, see if they manage to score this season at some point.
That's been an own goal, isn't it, when they do score?
Well, it'll be against us, and we'll draw them in the cup or something, right?
It'll be an I was there moment when we finally scored in the 23-24 season.
Yeah.
Right, let's see if we can cast a bit more magic, Norm. Last week, we were talking about the teams that we're worried about in the league. We talked a lot about Norwich. They proceeded to then ship 8 goals in 2 games, which did the trick fantastically. Who can we worry about this week that we can put the curse on?
Well, it's almost like you've read my mind, Tim, because I was going to come in with a little surprise for you both. I was going to ask you both who you think we will next lose a league game. Obviously, I'm not going to include cup games into this because I've gone down the fixture list myself. And I'm just so...
Hold on, just press pause. So this is Norm, who says we're going to win every game, trying to predict when we're going to lose.
No,
what are you up to, like the 2042-43 season?
No, Killer, that is incorrect. I actually had worked out we weren't going to lose again this season. But the first defeat will be in the Premier League in August, even though I won't predict it. I was going to ask you, more sensible gentlemen, you know, when we look at the... I'm just going to very quickly forget the Liverpool game. The next 10 fixtures: Blackburn away, Preston at home, Stoke at home, Swansea away, Sunderland home, QPR away, Leeds home, Middlesbrough away, Watford home, Sheffield Wednesday away, West Brom at home, Plymouth home. That takes us to December the 9th. Now, for me, any of the tough games there, the really tough ones, were at home. You know, Leeds at home, Sunderland at home, Preston at home are obviously flying. I can't. Can you see us losing any of those? Really?
Well, I said beginning of the season. I honestly said we would get popped off 0-1 at home a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for something ridiculous like Plymouth to come down here 9th of December and pop us off 0-1 again.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, it's a really great shout. I hadn't looked that far ahead, and I mean, the one that springs to mind if we're going to get done at home is Preston, isn't it? Which is in two games' time. But I mean, if you were saying to me now, unofficial predictor, Norm, of course, I'm not going to back against us at home, am I? No one is.
No.
So yeah, it's a great shout. I mean, we said September was going to be such an incredibly important month, and we've done brilliantly in it, haven't we? We've really have done, you know, not only have we won three out of the four, but we've dominated the games as well. It's just been magic. Absolutely magic. Shall we cover it? Let's have a look ahead, shall we, to the next game, which is Liverpool. Right. Yeah, I know you two. I'm not bothered about this game, so you two talk about it. I can't bring myself to say I want Leicester City to lose a football match and get knocked out of a competition, but I am, killer, going to say I don't care about the League Cup this year.
This is a bit of a trend here, Norm, with Tim. Have you noticed? He started this season. I can't get any enthusiasm for the team.
It's not Steptoe and Son.
And now he's become really infused by it. He's really enjoying every second. I can't get infused by it. You know what's going to happen? We're going to beat Liverpool. He's going to start off the next show. You're welcome to the podcast. Leicester City quarter finalists.
Yeah, asking us to rest players for the next championship game so we can. joking aside, it's going to be a hugely tough game away at Liverpool, obviously, but they are going to make wholesale changes. We will also make wholesale changes, but the difference between us and Liverpool is that when Liverpool make changes, their team will be significantly weakened, as has been proven when we make our changes. our team will not be weakened at all. So it really wouldn't surprise me if we went there and actually got something out of the game. In reality, I think it's a really, really nice game for the players to have. And I don't want us to lose. I'd love it if we came away with a win. I don't necessarily really think we are going to, but if we do lose, so be it. We can concentrate on the league. If we win, magic. It's a great cup run, great for confidence, and we've got enough players to drop in and bring out and moving forward. So I haven't got a problem with staying in the competition. I want us to win, but like you say, Tim, if we do lose, it will be one of those where it's, look, you know, we're not likely to win the competition. So, you know, fair enough.
Any players that you would particularly would want to rest?
Harry Winks, I think, is a key. I think he might be due a rest. Wilfried Ndidi. I think Vardy can come out of this one. I think it might be time to give Patson Daka a run. Chuck a few in. I'm a bit like, look, no Leicester City fan is gonna lose one wink of sleep if we go there and lose, are they? You know what I mean? I suspect that Liverpool fans won't be overly bothered if they win. So you're quite right. We don't want to get spanked, okay? And obviously with that Liverpool team now, it's... You look at what they've got on the bench, and I suspect he's going to play several of those, and that will still be strong because he's got some absolute firepower there, and that can hurt you. So, you know, I think if we go there and give a good account of ourselves, play well, not the ball around, if we can sort of get to ourselves around 45, 50% possession, you would come around and go, let's, you know, that would be good. But really, and I am inclined to agree with you a little bit here, Tim, we're doing so well now in the Championship. It really is all about Blackburn, isn't it, on Sunday?
You know what? The three players you've mentioned are, I think, the three most important players to rest. Because I think the defence is a little, not so much the centre-backs, but he's already rested fast. I think that the full-backs are a bit interchangeable. He's messing around there a little bit anyway. Pereira, Justin, Doyle. obviously, the ever-present Vestergaard, we can't do without, as we've talked about.
I mean, Doyle's injured as well, by the way, so he's not going to be available.
Is that right? I heard he left the stadium on crutches, but then they didn't think it was too bad. So they've got to rest him, haven't they, if there's any injury at all.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
But just on that, Norm, by the way, I didn't think it weakened our team at all, bringing Justin in. I'd have started with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Justin's a better left-back.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I do
agree with that. But I think they'd be the three for me. So it'd be interesting to see. We've got a bit of a free hit at Liverpool. We did give them a good scare for the first half hour in pre-season, by all accounts, in that game until they scored. So that'll be interesting to see. And then we got Blackburn. So, Norm, Blackburn 14th in the division. They tend to float around there. Yeah, slightly higher than that, don't they? They're a decent... I mean, they gave us an absolute spanking last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did in the cup when our confidence was at its lowest ever. I think the difference now is our confidence is as high as it can get, and teams are coming to players and thinking, we'll be lucky if we get anything out of this game. And I think it's almost like that defeatist attitude which works in our favour. I think the fact that they're at home will mean that they'll come at us a little bit more than they would do if it was at King Power. And I think that'll just... I would imagine that will give us opportunities to score against them. I don't think there's any... Look, it's like any league, isn't it? There's no real easy, simple games. You know, we've been grinding out results, playing quite well, but not blowing teams away. It's not going to be an easy game. Blackburn will be their biggest home game of the season for them. I'm sure, you know, apart from, I suppose, Preston's a local derby, but at the end of the day, it's a challenge, but it's not one that we should be fearful of. You know, there's a lot of teams that are okay in this division, but I think we are a class above. So, you know, we should go there with every confidence. But, you know, I know I'm going to predict us to win every game on the predictor. We all know that. But it's a 46 game season. We've lost to Hull. There are going to be odd games where we are not going to win. And it's kind of acceptable that that happens. And, you know, if we drop points occasionally, then again, as long as we don't worry, I just really very keen for us to carry on this great run. To get, be nice to get a bit more of a gap between like us and third, for instance. I mean, there's a big gap between the top three and the chasing pack. If we can get, you know, two, three, four points clear at the top, then that'll be job done for me. And I think the Blackburn game is a way that we can start to show our class and move on forward.
Blackburn away, killer, top quartile, most difficult games.
I think they're a good side from the point of view that they play football. I think John Dole Thomason has got them playing football. I think that was represented with the result that they got on Saturday, losing 4-3 at Ipswich. Apparently, a brilliant football match. So I get the feeling. I think this should be a really good game. They'll come at us. There's no doubt. I think he's got a style of playing, like you say. I mean, that. Despite the fact we were absolutely atrocious last year in the FA Cup. And do you know what, Tim? When I look back, that performance was really, strangely, one of the low points of the season, even though we went down. I actually felt so depressed as a consequence of that performance. I suspect we're going to get a very, very different Leicester City performance. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm really, really looking forward to it because they're going to come at us. And I quite like this Leicester City team where it gets compact, because I think in transition, as we saw against Southampton, at this level, quite frankly, it's frightening.
I'm looking forward to Rooster Russell scoring the winner.
Oh, wasn't that just one of the best ever days ever?
Not off.
That was the Leicester in Dreamland commentary, wasn't it? Goosebumps. Let's come on to the predictor with Trumpwell's IPA, of course. Drink nothing else, listeners. So we all got a point last week. We all predicted we'd beat Bristol City, although not quite as squeaky bum as it turned out to be. Leaving Killer still in charge of the predictor with 8 points, me on 7. Norm on 6.
Hold on, Tim.
It sounds to me like there's an error. Incorrect.
Well, what about the Norwich game where I predicted us to win 2-0? Thank you very much.
Oh, it's another elementary error.
This is something.
Can you apologise to Trump Wales?
This is something else that's going to have to be edited out, isn't it? Oh dear!
No, we're not doing a podcast; we're doing a poo-cast.
Why, Kelly? You actually got it wrong, incredibly. Right, Norm's lead in at the predictor table with 9.
Don't hold on! Don't deflect your elementary error away from my incorrect prediction.
Kelly, I'm in our joint bottom of the predictor table.
Imagine, I'd rather be there, but hear you apologising to our listeners.
I'll do that while I edit it.
I've had enough of this farce.
Right, come on, Blackburn. What say you, killer?
It could be a cracking game. Blackburn Rovers 2, Leicester City 4.
Ooh.
Oh, you did exactly the same silly laugh when I went 1-4.
Yeah, if you do it again.
And when I said Vestergaard will end up second to Harry Winks as player of the season.
If you get it right again, we're going to have to suspend this competition while we look into some match fixing. Get the VAR refs onto it. Norm, what about you?
3-1 Leicester.
3-1, I think we'll win. I'm going to say 2-0 Leicester. 2-0 Leicester. Final thoughts, killer.
14 hours ago, Alfie White, I'm sure, scored a cracking goal for Cheltenham Town. And boys, I do hope you get yourselves a goal.
Norm?
Prepare better, Tim.
Quite right. We're all off to get some Cheltenham season tickets, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.